Moving Lanterns Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Moving Lanterns Podcast, episode 7. I'm Jane.
I'm Charlotte.
And as always, we're going to talk to you about animated films and stuff.
Yep.
You had a nice week, Charlie.
I've been essaying, writing my final essays of my degree, so yes.
Now's when I get to be smug and be like, I graduated last year.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting week, full of manic typing.
Have you had a chance to watch any animation?
Yesterday I watched an episode of The Clangers from 1974, in which Oliver Postgate explained the election of 1974 to the Clangers and how voting systems work and how governments work. And it's really funny because like he explains it and stuff, and he uses like the Soup Dragon to be one of the parties and stuff. And then at the end of the episode, the Clangers decide that parliamentary system is a stupid system and that everybody should be allowed, should have an input. And then they sort of basically tell him to do one and carry on living harmoniously as they normally do. It's great, it's a really good episode. It's on the BFI website.
I wonder if we're going to get another one with Clangers coming back of how this election
maybe,
didn't work.
Maybe.
Hey, no, the election's target audience of 5 to 7 year olds.
It was great, it was a really good episode.
That seems a really odd property to use to promote voting.
And it was unusual as well because they normally, like, so Oliver Postgate just narrates it and then the Clangers kind of do their thing, whereas in this episode the Clangers are directly speaking with Oliver Postgate, kind of having Oliver Postgate did the Clangers, by the way, not just randomly staying here, and yeah, so they're having a conversation, and it's a really good an effective way of explaining what a general election is to young people, like really young children. And also, it was, interestingly, it was its last episode from its original run.
Oh.
The original 27 episodes between 1969 and 1974.
Is there something sinister there with the fact that as soon as they decided they didn't want to join in for democracy, they got cancelled?
Maybe. it's really interesting. So
sinister Clangers.
Yeah.
I haven't had the chance to watch anything animated this week,
yeah.
But I did watch Avengers,
yeah.
Which is sort of animated in that the main baddie is animated and there's a lot of visual effects in there.
Yeah.
Visual effects on Quicksilver, weirdly, not as good as the visual effects in the TV show The Flash.
Was Quicksilver disappointing in comparison to
X-Men Days of
Future Past?
He was. We're not going to spoil anything because Charlie hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet.
So I'm not going to spoil anything. That's all I'm saying on that.
Oh, okay. Well, tune in next week when I'll have seen it and then we can discuss it.
But, and it will have been out for a bit by
yeah,
then, so
yeah.
We'll warn you before we spoil anything.
But
it was a good film. The visual effects on Ultron were pretty impressive. I still find with CGI, it's still doesn't look real in a scene.
Yeah.
But it actually did in Ultra. I was very impressed.
Okay.
I didn't always, but it did they were interacting.
The only one I've seen where they've successfully done that was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
The new one.
Mm-hmm. I get them mixed up.
I don't know if the new one was Rise or Dawn. I think
I
it was
can't
Dawn.
Remember. The most recent one. Yes. It's very impressive in that.
I haven't seen it.
I recommend
because
it's a really good film.
Yeah, but I don't have any desire to watch either of them.
Really? Well, the first one is I'm not a fan of the first one. But I wasn't particularly interested in seeing the second one. I just sort of ended up seeing it. But coming out of the second one, I can't think of another example where the quality of film has increased to such a drastic extent between the first one and the sequel.
Oh, really?
It's a really good film. Really, like.
So I should give it a chance,
on all levels,
despite the fact that I don't know if I can get past for the suspension of disbelief.
That's not my... That, yeah, well...
Says the girl who loves superhero films.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't have a problem with it from that perspective. My one critique of it is that you know where it's going, but that's sort of... there is, you can't do anything about that because it, obviously it's a prequel. You have to get to the point where you're at the start of Planet of the Apes,
which I also haven't seen.
But also, but they kind of make that inevitability work really well within the story, and it just makes it so tragic. Like, it's not a very happy film, and you become kind of really involved in it. It's really effective, so
I might give it a chance.
Yeah,
I thought Gary Oldman should at some point watch it. So, seen anything else that you want to talk about?
I guess, well, I'll just shout out to, I've watched some House.
There's no animation in
there
House.
There is animation in House.
Is there really?
Yeah, have you seen House?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they like, I was watching some of the first series, and like they repeated, like every time they like, you know, they do like these close-ups into the face, and they go into like the
oh yeah, you're right, I completely forgot
about that.
They do really
crappy animation.
They stopped doing that like halfway through.
I'm not surprised that they stopped doing that because it's rubbish.
Are you watching House because it's on Netflix?
I'm watching House. Well, I'm watching
it's just
House
been added
because it's on Netflix, but I'm not really watching it. It was just on because Joe's friend Andrew was here staying. Yeah, last week, and Joe had never seen House, and somehow that resulted in
everyone has to have watched House at some point. The first episode of House my mum watched, this is a fun story, was the episode where, spoilers, that guy, what's his name? Cal Penn. That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I can't remember him.
So the first episode my mum watched was the episode where Cal Penn, spoilers here for House, I think it's okay, the amount of time's passed, where he commits suicide.
Right.
And my mum was like, this show's really depressing, and then she didn't watch it again. It's like, she got three episodes in, she was like, nope, not doing it. So, yes, that's my extent of my knowledge with House. So, this week on the podcast,
yes,
we're going to talk about films released this week and next from home video, then news that's happened, and then Film Club, which was this week.
Joseph King of Dreams.
Which we'll be getting onto in a bit. So, first of all, films released this week and next on home video. Animated films, there's nothing. 2 weeks, nothing released on home video. That's a lie. 11th of May, there's one thing. 11th of May, Kumbara Zebra's Tail, the version with the cuddly toy, is released. That's the only thing.
Yay.
In 2 weeks. But, I mean, free cuddly toy. I never saw Kumbara Zebra's Tail, so I don't know what it was like. No animated films released in cinemas either over the next 2 weeks. So, good luck with that. Special mention though, 14th of May, Mad Max Fury Road comes out.
Oh, I am so excited about that film.
Are you on board now?
Yeah, I know. I'm just like but no, because Joe told me that apparently, like, the entire film is just gonna be like one extended car chase, and yeah. Narratively. I'm interested in things that do interesting things narratively, and that sounds quite interesting.
Because you argued that it felt like style over substance and you had a problem with that, and I said that's why I was looking forward to it.
Well, I take it back, right? But I think mostly because everything else that's coming out this summer looks really boring, and Mad Max looks fun.
It does look fun.
So,
I'm excited for it because it just looks like a 2-hour-long music video.
And it's opening can.
Is it?
Which is like the best thing ever, yeah. I think it's awesome.
Have you seen any of the other Mad Maxes?
The first one.
I haven't seen either of the others, and I haven't played any of the games.
Sure.
You surprised me. But I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah.
But I still have no desire to watch any of the others.
They're quite good. Well, the one that I've seen.
Just effects-wise, this one looks really cool.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I also didn't realise, we did drive in the car in the trailer, my brother pointed out to me, that's Nicholas Holt.
I know, right? It's like Nicholas Holt is actively trying to be cast in as many roles as possible, but he has to wear so much makeup you can't recognise.
You can't tell it's Nicholas Holt. Because I watched X-Men the other week.
Yeah.
And this is what my brother was like, oh yeah, he's in Mad Max. I was like, who is he in Mad Max? He's not in the trailer. My brother was like, yeah, he is. It's the guy driving the wheel who's mental.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, that's the only thing coming out, 14th of May. So, we'll move on to news, I guess.
Yeah.
The Moving Lanterns Podcast.
First of all, Khalil Gibran's For Profit got a trailer.
Oh, yes.
You sent me information about this.
Yes.
You wanna...
It's kind of Salma Hayek's...
Hayek?
Hayek.
I always pronounce it Salma Hayek.
Start again. It's Salma Hayek's passion project. She's kind of spearheaded getting it made. It's based on famous poetry by
Cahill Khalil Gibran.
Yeah. And it looks really pretty.
Yeah, each chapter has a different director.
Yeah.
So it's in a different animation style.
Yeah.
And they're all pretty famous animation directors.
Yeah.
Like there's Song of the Sea and other, I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, there's other stuff in there. We've got a write up on the website.
Yeah. And it's got Liam Neeson's voice, so
always a good
win,
thing.
Win. yeah, but it sounds like a quite interesting little project that
yeah,
might be nice to watch.
There's no UK release date yet.
Yeah.
It's due out in America, I think it was the 7th of August.
Yeah.
But they haven't announced a UK release date. And this is a problem we get a lot. We get with Studio Ghibli a lot as well, is we get release dates way later. Mm. I don't know if it's animation is more popular in America or more like,
I think things get released easier in America because they won't get a wide release, but they'll get like the specific city's release, like LA, New York. Whereas, which is annoying if you're anywhere else in America, but I lived in LA, so
Whereas here you get Picture House release stuff.
Whereas here you don't get that small release. You sort of release it. So it's,
Like that's why Studio Ghibli stuff normally has one or two screenings at a multiplex, and then Picture House will show up more.
Yeah.
But if you get the chance to go watch it, go watch it. I want to know what it's like, so let us know. Next news story: Netflix is to adapt Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham. Did you see this?
I did.
So it's Ellen DeGeneres is producing it. I love Dr. Seuss. I basically learned Spanish by reading Dr. Seuss.
Okay.
I did Spanish at school, and I was like, how can I keep this up and try and remember it? I was like, I'm going to read Dr. Seuss. So I tend to read children's books to try and remember Spanish. I'm reading Harry Potter at the moment. I've been reading Harry Potter for a while in Spanish. But it is interesting. It's coming in 2018.
Yes.
Netflix seems to be making a lot of new programming for children at the moment, which is a good thing. It kind of just proves that the future of television is in on demand.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, I don't have very much of an opinion. Not the biggest Zeus fan.
No? Did you go to Universal Studios? Did you go to the Dr. Seuss section when you were in Florida?
Yes. Yes, we did. Yeah.
And you just still were like, meh.
I wasn't particularly...
I turned into a proper child at the Dr. Seuss section, Universal Studios. And I think, is it Alton Towers has a Dr. Seuss thing as well? And yeah, I think I've got Cat in the Hat at Alton Towers, I might be wrong. But I turned into a child at Dr. Seuss section, so I love them so much.
No. I do believe we were in Dr. Seuss, and I was just like, should we go back to Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park's amazing though, to be fair. I love Jurassic Park at Universal. Next one, Adventure Time was praised at the Peabody Awards. I just thought
that's cool.
It was cool, just something interesting, little thing there. So,
cool that.
Giving them a shout out. First Look was released for the Pixar short to Run Before the Good Dinosaur, which is called Sanjay Super Team. That's another, just a little shout out news. There's not a lot. There's really not a lot happening lately.
It's quiet time.
Animation Block Party's headed to London May 2nd. I mean, it's probably too late now, but... Today is May 2nd, so we have missed that, but...
Yesterday was May 2nd.
But if you had the chance to go, let us know what you thought. Email us at contribute@movinglanterns.com. And the other thing I just want to give a little shout out is Yooka-Laylee, which is a video game Kickstarter, which is a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie. They've smashed their kickstarting target. They've made like a lot of money, but I really want this game to happen. So
Banjo-Kazooie is the only video game I have ever played start to finish.
So you'd like Yooka-Laylee?
Genuinely. Yeah, on the N64.
Yeah, Yooka-Laylee looks essentially to be Banjo-Kazooie, except instead of a bear and a bird, it's like a lizard and a something else. But essentially to be the same game. And it's kickstarting, so if you have some spare money, which I guess most people don't, but if you do, chuck it their way. They have smashed their goal already, so it's going to happen. But I just wanted to give that a little shout out because I'm excited about it. That's it on news. There's nothing going on. What's happening?
It's a quiet time.
It's a very quiet time.
The Moving Lanterns podcast.
So I guess we'll move on to Film Club.
Yes.
Which was Joseph, King of Dreams. Charlie, you want to go through the plot?
It's the plot of Joseph.
Okay.
That's the plot. I would attempt to go further into detail, but I feel like everybody knows the plot of Joseph, and I will acknowledge I did get bored of the film halfway through.
And turn it off. I watched the whole thing because it's only an hour and 15 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Neither of us had seen it before.
Okay.
And it's one of those films that I feel like people always mention when they mention DreamWorks, like, before Shrek. And I don't get why they always mention it now that I've seen it, because it's not that good.
The songs were rubbish.
I don't know if the song... I think it suffered from the fact that Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat as a musical is so big and well known.
Yeah.
Like, I did a production of it in primary school.
Yeah.
So I knew the story quite well. I knew the songs that I knew, and these songs weren't those songs.
Yeah.
I don't know if it suffers by being constantly compared to that... Was it Donny Osmond version?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that was an issue. Whilst the songs from the Andrew Webber musical are more familiar, I would argue they're probably equally as rubbish. So, but...
Hey, I had to learn every colour in that stupid colour song in order.
Yeah. They were just rubbish, like, really boring. And the whole thing was just...
Flat. Yeah.
Prince of Egypt is much better.
It is. I spent a lot of time watching it going, trying to remember the colours in order, because I remember spending ages memorising them. And it's not even a Technicolor coat in
there. No, it's not.
It's a blue coat. But there was another faith disclaimer, which we discussed last week.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised it was on there this time. I did like the animation style changes for the dreams.
That was nice, yeah.
When they went into the... Yeah. Picasso, I want to say, style? I don't think it is Picasso.
No, it's not. It's Klimt.
Klimt. That's what I meant. Klimt. Yeah, I quite like that. That was making the most out of the medium. And like the hieroglyphics in the Prince of Egypt, which they did again in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which annoyed me a little bit, because I was like, it's the same thing you've just done in Prince of Egypt like a year before.
Yeah.
Also, this was... I think this came out the same year as El Dorado.
Oh, El Dorado is where it's at.
El Dorado's so much better. It's the same problem as Prince of Egypt in that the characters aren't really fleshed out in favour of narrative.
Yeah. And, like, the story... I don't know if... I think just that... I don't know. It's just not that... I find the Prince of Egypt relatively interesting because the story is, like... I don't know if it's more interesting, but just...
It took a long time to get going, Joseph.
Yeah.
Like, I was 15 minutes in and I was like, there's still nothing happening.
Yeah.
And it's only an hour and 15 minutes long movie, so you're a fifth of the way in and nothing's happened yet. It was quite short and just didn't get going. The sheep at the beginning were adorable. They were what came out of me. I was like, yeah, this is why animation does animals. Because they had so much more character than the characters.
Yeah.
And they were in like 3 seconds of scene.
Yeah.
But neither of us were really fans of Joseph King of Dreams.
No. Do not recommend it.
Do not recommend it. Watch Joseph Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat instead. The film adaption. I really like the film adaption. I watched that a lot when
I'm not sure I would recommend that either.
I watched that a lot when I was younger.
Okay.
I think it's because I was in the play and then I was like, I had the CD and then I watched the film a lot. I had a video and it had like an extra features. It's the only video I've ever owned where it has extra features after the film on the video on the VHS. Oh, okay. Yeah. We moved on a bit there from talking about the DreamWorks one. So yeah, so our advice is watch The Road to El Dorado again.
Yeah.
Or Shrek.
Just anything else.
Yeah. Prince of Egypt.
Yeah.
So that was quite a short film club.
Yeah.
So next week, or the week after next, we're going to watch...
Wreck-It Ralph. Wow.
Try again, Charlie.
I'm tempted to draw Ralph.
We're gonna watch. I'll say it.
Thank you.
Wreck It Ralph.
Thank you.
You wanna try again?
Wreck It Ralph.
Well done.
It's actually quite difficult.
It is quite hard to say. It's on Netflix.
It's like Darren Aronofsky.
Darren Aronofsky.
Any opportunity to say his name?
Yeah.
Take it.
Darren Aronofsky. Nothing to do with Wreck It Ralph.
No, sorry.
But we're watching Wreck It Ralph. So I've seen Wreck It Ralph before. Charlie has not.
I have never seen it.
So I'm curious what you think.
I wanted to see it when it came out, but I was...
You weren't around, because I saw it with Joe.
I was around. I remember you going to see it and not going, but I can't remember why I didn't go. There was a reason, but I don't remember what it was.
I think you might have been ill.
Maybe.
Or something.
Yeah.
Because I live with you when we saw it.
I know. I remember you going, and I remember being like, oh, I can't go, this is really annoying, being really pissed off about it, but I can't remember why.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I was writing an essay.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
Nobody cares about that.
Nobody cares about that. just so you know, after I've done our little exit, letting you know what's going on the site and stuff, we're going to come back and there'll be a spoiler-filled bit about Avengers. Because we're going to go watch it, and then we'll come back and talk about it. But there'll be spoilers in that, so that's why I'm telling you now. But anyway, join Film Club on the website. I've put up the one for Joseph King of Dreams, so if you want to leave a comment on there, let us know what you thought of the film, see if you agree with us. If you liked it, please defend it. I want to know, I want someone to have liked it and to tell us why they liked it. We've got new reviews.
Is it a misunderstood masterpiece?
Is it a misunderstood masterpiece? It might be.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is, but it could be. We've got new reviews on the site of Frozen Fever, which is the showrunner for Cinderella, and there's a review up of The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. If you want to submit to Fan Art Thursday, email contribute@movinglanterns.com. Or if you have a Kickstarter project you want us to promote, let us know. Or if you want to get in contact with us for anything else or be part of Moving Lanterns in any way, email contribute@movinglanterns.com. Any final thoughts, Charlie? No. This is a running thing. As I say any final thoughts, Charlie, every week, and every week, you have nothing.
The greater good.
The greater good. Stay tuned for the spoiler-filled podcast endy bit of Avengers. And that's it this week. Bye!
Bye!
The Moving Lanterns podcast.
We're back from watching the Avengers.
Yay.
There will be spoilers from here on out, so if you haven't seen Avengers yet, or Avengers 2, turn us off now. Charlie, what did you think of Avengers 2 in terms of animation?
In terms of animation, I thought it was pretty unremarkable.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was particularly impressive or interestingly shot or anything about it was very interesting at all.
That first shot where they sort of line it up so they're all jumping across,
yeah,
that annoyed me. I really don't like that shot. It's trying too hard.
Yeah.
And also, like I said earlier, the special effects on Quicksilver aren't as good as the ones in The Flash, which is a TV series on a TV budget.
They're also not as good as Quicksilver in X-Men.
Yeah, well, that's, like, ridiculously good.
Because the thing about what makes that sequence in X-Men really good is that it is really interestingly and inventively shot. Whereas, like, it's not...
A lot of it's practical way. In X-Men as well.
Yeah.
Whereas, a bit heavily reliant on the CGI as well, I thought, in...
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ultron himself, in some shots he looked really good, and in some shots it looked a bit... We watched it in 2D, it might have been different in IMAX.
And I thought Paul Bettany worked really well, but I suspect that's probably because it was just Paul Bettany in the suit.
Makeup. I don't know how much CGI there was on top of that.
I'm not sure if it was actually CGI, but, you know, it could have been CGI.
Yeah.
He was playing a robot, just like...
Could have been CGI, yeah. What about the Hulk CGI? Hulk's still not convincing, I think.
No.
They've always struggled with the Hulk, and that scene where he drops Black Widow off a helicarrier, really not, like, doesn't... No.
And in my head, I've gone to the Hulk, and then I've gone to motion capture, and then from motion capture, I've gone to Planet of the Apes, when I've gone to Andy Serkis. What on earth was Andy Serkis doing in it for, like, 5 minutes?
Not being in a mocap suit. Is what he was doing. Talking about cuttlefish for some reason.
No, what was that? Then he just disappeared. They didn't even kill him.
No. He might be in another film.
Sure.
He might be in Black Panther, maybe. That's Wakanda. Yeah, he might be in Black Panther.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
I felt like motion... Like, because he's done... The Hulk's done for motion capture, right?
Yeah, it wasn't the first one. I assume
it's
the same one.
Yeah, it's the same one. No, I don't...
It's still not convincing.
No, it doesn't look right.
It looks a lot better than the last Hulk film. The 2008 one, 2009 one.
Yes.
But it's like 6 years later.
Well, that's...
So it should.
That's fake praise. What else? Oh, yeah. I hate the tendency... Well, I say tendency. just directly comparing it with the latest X-Men film again, of kind of the big baddies to raise something massive out of
and then drop it.
That in reality would just crumble.
Yeah. They did say they had magnetic fields bringing it in.
And like, in exactly the same way as like the stadium, and if you've seen X-Men Days of Future Past, the stadium. But
yeah.
It's just, it really annoys me, and it's stupid and unnecessary. You can create peril without pulling something out of the ground and raising it high in the air. It's not, it's just stupid.
But then they couldn't have had the helicarrier.
Who cares? Who cares? And, you know, you could have just had a boat.
You could have had a boat, this is true.
You could have just had it all at sea. Yeah, yeah. So,
and the only other CGI I can think of that was obvious was Scarlet Witch's powers, which was subtle anyway. Well, not subtle.
I actually quite like the way that they did Scarlet Witch's
She's
powers.
She's way overpowered. She's got, like, compared to all the others, she can control people's minds.
Yeah, that was never really explained properly.
She's got telekinesis, she can control people's minds, and she can, like, fire spells at people.
But, like, what she actually did to their minds didn't really make that much sense, because it wasn't...
I think it was showing their fears?
Yeah, but it wasn't, that was never really explained, and it wasn't very consistent, because what on earth, what was Captain America's fear in that scenario? Because what she was showing him was what he'd lost,
yeah.
Not his fear.
Yeah.
And, yeah... I don't know, it was just... And, like, it's like kind of ditto Black Widow as well.
Yeah,
like,
her memories.
She's lost, not...
Yeah.
And I felt that... Yeah, I'm going to...
We can go into general story if you like.
Go into general story?
We've spoke a bit about the animation now and visual effects.
Okay.
Well, can we quickly talk about UEA?
Oh, yeah.
So the last shot of the film is the Sainsbury's Centre.
Yeah.
And I could have been an extra and I missed out and I'm always going to regret that.
What does the Antiques Roadshow and Avengers Age of Ultron have in common?
The Avengers headquarters?
Yes.
Yes. Did you get the email about being an extra in Avengers or was it just me?
I was in America.
I was in America when I got the email, but I was home that weekend but they shot it.
No then.
No.
I didn't get the email.
I got the email.
But yeah, no, plot-wise, it was sort of quite predictable, and I didn't really like what they did with either of the female characters.
Yeah. But overall, it was alright, the film, in terms of the Marvel films. It was alright.
It was alright. It was fun enough. There were some good lines in it. There were bits where the banter was starting to come a little bit clunky for me.
Yeah, it got a bit gnarly.
But,
Look it up on TV Tropes.
But then there were lines that worked really well. I think maybe it depended on who was delivering them, and like comic timing. I don't know, because like the Paul Bettany line that I was born yesterday.
That was funny.
That works really well.
But Paul Bettany's good at comedy.
Yeah. I don't know. Because like I was saying maybe that is what it is. Because like most of the ones that fell flat to me were the ones that were said by Captain America.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've seen Chris Evans in a comedy, other than Scott Pilgrim.
He was in Not Another Teen Movie.
I never watched it.
But the Thor bits worked well, comedy-wise.
Yeah.
But that's because, like...
There was another random Thor shirtless scene for no reason.
Oh, yeah, there was a random Thor shirtless scene. Which also... I love the fact that that scene also features Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah. Like, there's no reason for that scene at all,
yeah.
Well, other than to set up for future movies.
I think there was quite a lot of that.
There was.
A lot of scenes that didn't need to be there unless...
Well, that's why Edgar Wright left Ant-Man, wasn't it? Because they were meddling too much to try and put stuff to make it fit into their cinematic universe.
Yes, but I also think... I suspect there's probably...
Another story there.
More than just that going on. I think they were probably taking away Final Cut and things like that as well. But, yeah...
Yeah, so overall, it was okay. We had issues with it, but go watch it, it's okay. Yeah?
I wouldn't necessarily say go and watch it. I would say wait 2 weeks and go and see Mad Max.
Yes, Mad Max. I'm excited about Mad Max.
If we
plan it right, we could do another one of these for Mad Max at the end of the next podcast or the one after that.
That sounds good.
Right. Bye!
Bye.
The Moving Lanterns Podcast.